to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to have a murder of crows out to get them.
Aww.
Ooh.
Least to most likely. First, Robin Langenhop.
Oh, Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid, and I'm so excited to be in this position. There are crows around my house at all times. I'm trying to train them to be my friends.
Next, Max Weinberg.
Hey, this is Max playing Stump Steenling. I'm curious about why. Just cause.
That middle position is always so weird.
It's you're not likely, you're not unlikely.
A little less than Robin, a little more than me, you know?
And most likely, Rowan McStay.
Hello, my name is Rowan McStay, playing Salome Breyer, and I'm pissed. I love a Corvid. I want to be their friend, and if I've wronged them, it's certainly not on purpose. This is slander. I'm upset.
Oh, I assumed that with Rowan being the highest, they're going to be just hanging out and chilling.
Oh, no,
I mean,
no.
If they're just hanging out, that's fine. I gave him some unshelled peanuts. Like, why am I Salome? I gave him some unshelled peanuts.
No, I think being the highest on the list here means that you are full Tippi-hedron and you are under constant assault.
Like, in a bad way?
I think that, haven't you had past run-ins with birds?
Oh, birds just shit on me more than is regular. Yeah,
That's really unfortunate.
I've been shit on by like 12 birds. I get shit on by birds a lot.
and with that, let's dive.
Let's dive bomb like a little crow right in.
Much like a bird, let's dive right in.
There it is.
Last time on Mage Hand High Five. The group escaped the elevator into the refinery, defeating a shambler in the process. As the group journeyed into the mines, you came upon Daisy, a diredillo pet of Aunt Maggie and Lila. Daisy led the group toward their current hideout, but bristled when you came upon a cavern of massive shamblers looking for a hidden grung. The group rescued the grung, defeating all but one of the shamblers by driving them into a quarry with a massive drill and some well-placed eldritch blasts. The last shambler was mysteriously called away by a magically amplified voice. Salome was reunited with her Aunt Maggie, and the truth was revealed about Aunt Lila. In a desperate bid to keep the shamblers from running rampant outside, she transformed herself slowly into a tree, sealing the doors with her briars and branches. Where we are now, Dart has taken out a concertina and has begun leading the camp of survivors in a song. Salome and Aunt Maggie are near Lila, speaking together under her branches. Hayden and Stump, after a round or two of a song, Dart puts away her concertina and looks at the two of you.
So
what's y'all's deal?
Cool, that's a,
are y'all
that's
like,
a large question, friend.
Yeah, like, where do you want to start? How much time you got?
Why would you come down here, I guess, is my question.
Well, that's because of Salome. You know, her aunt, we're looking for her aunts. We're looking for the Breyer sisters.
Gotcha. So, like, y'all have a game plan for what you're going to do now?
Absolutely not. We had no idea what we were going to run into when we got down here, and now we're here. And lovely to have Salome back together with the family, but now we're where you are. And that's an interesting new development that none of us have a real answer to. I'm just kind of waiting for the moment when Salome finishes her, you know, family rediscovery connection thing, and then we need to have a serious talk about what happens next. I'm a little overwhelmed. Am I talking too much? I'm talking too much.
Where'd you get that caffeine, Hayden?
I'm just holding a mug. Just, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Okay. I slap it out of their hand.
Along with the sandwich bags of fire powder, there's a couple sandwich bags of just raw espresso grounds.
My mouth is so dry.
Dart looks at the two of you and says, "So, has anybody like filled you in on what's going on?"
No, I believe
not
that Aunt Lila is a tree, and I'm still processing that part.
Yeah, there used to be like two of the nice ladies leading us, and then one of them turned into a tree, and now there's only one. And
yeah,
it's kind of a lot.
Dot, I'm gonna say something that makes absolutely no sense to you, but you don't actually want to know anything about this. I promise you, Stump. we've got a lot of other things going on, and I understand there's a bit of a priority list, but at some point, we're going to run into something real bad that we haven't run into yet, and I've just kind of been sitting on it for a while now, and my brain's exploding a little bit, and this is the first time I've had to just sit down. Whew, that coffee's getting to me. But we need to talk about things that have been going on in my mind. If we could do that, it's...
I cast protection from poison on Hayden to, like, help cure them of caffeine poisoning?
Dart looks at you as you say that and is like, this sounds like something that's way over my head.
I used to be really good at secrets, but now I'm struggling and I have a big one.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
I'm going to give Hayden a vial of just like, you know, this liquid to kind of take the edge off, which is going to be protection from poison because they need it.
It's just gin.
It's just booze a little bit.
It's just Pedialyte.
Pedialyte and gin.
Pedialyte's so funny.
Breakfast of champions.
And Dart sort of looks at the two of you and is like, yeah, listen, I can't tell y'all about the, like, what's going on until your friend gets back. So, like, why don't y'all just talk? And I'm going to go stand over there.
Okay.
Okay. She leaves.
Yeah, Hayden, what's going on? Okay, I need inhale and hold 2, 3, 4 and exhale slowly. I have never seen this from you before. What the hell is going on?
So, you know how sometimes a voice comes into your head that's not your own voice, and there's probably something magical going on, but you're like, I don't want you in there. I want only my own voice inside my head. You ever have that happen to you?
I mean, a couple ways. I had that kind of like special dream that time, and then I also we've done the sending spell.
It was not a sending spell. This was a full ass conversation with an individual that I. Okay, so Tiberius Jameson talked to me in my head, and
I'm what?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. What? Well, what did he say? you can't just be like, oh yeah, he talked to me. Bye. What did he say?
So he offered me a deal to give over Salome in exchange for a swanky penthouse in Threed, which honestly is kind of a weird deal to offer. Clearly, he does not understand anything about me and my whole situation, but he only gave me a limited amount of time to respond, and he's just going to pop back into my head any old time. I don't know how long I have before I have to give an answer, and we need to be able to say something that will at least somewhat appease him so that we have a moment to come up with a real plan, and I have some thoughts, but they all seem like really, 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 oh, really, okay. Really bad ideas.
Okay. Take a breath again. Inhale. Hold 2, 3. Exhale. Okay. So there's a couple options here. You know, we could just hand her over, which we're not going to do, but that is an option.
No, she's my best friend.
That's good.
You're also kind of my best friend, but you're also kind of my dad, so it's a whole thing.
Great. I like stump like Pat's so Hayden's hip.
It's Sharon time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is there a way that we can fake it?
I would love to see. That's what I was thinking. Let's bring Salome in on it.
I mean, we gotta tell her one way or the other. We gotta tell her.
No, for sure, absolutely. I just, you know, she's got stuff happening right now, and I didn't want to pile on, but okay.
Yeah, maybe once we're out of here, we tell her.
I'm telling you, he's going to reach back into my head any old time. It could be
God. Okay.
During this conversation, for all I know. So
Hayden just hears hello.
How's it going?
Yeah, so let's let Salome have her little family reunion here, and then we can bring her in.
Sure, great, that's fine. I'll wait.
Would it help if you write it on a piece? If you speak it into something that can repeat it, so you're just like you're still saying it, but just not to Salome.
Do you have that bag that you can fit anything in?
Yeah.
Maybe I could just scream my feelings into it, and then they'll just be in there and not in my head anymore.
Yeah.
Stump just like lifts up his satchel and holds open the bag of holding.
You know what? I feel much better now.
That's good. We'll definitely let her know, but let's let her have this first.
Meanwhile.
Oh my God.
Well, that went great.
It's so somber on the other end of the camp.
Beneath the branches of Lila.
God.
It's not funny, I promise.
Oh my God. Salome, you are with your Aunt Maggie. There's sort of a moment of silence passes between you as you're both looking at Lila's unmoving face.
I think Salome like wipes a couple of tears and goes, Dart's really good at that concertina.
Yeah. I always wanted to learn concertina. One of the instruments I couldn't wrap my head around. How's Thaddeus?
What? What opening salvo?
I'm so sorry. Can Aunt Lai hear us? Because I don't know if I can bring myself to talk about this twice.
I think she can still hear us right now. But truth be told, every day that passes, I'm a little less sure.
Okay. Well, to answer your question, Thaddeus is, oh, hell.
Well, dear heart, if you don't want to talk about it, that's plenty fine.
No, it's okay.
If you and Thad are going through sort of rough times right now, that's...
Oh, you know, we sort of sorted out our rough patches. It's all right.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Dear heart.
Yeah,
seemed like
thanks.
like a nice feller.
Mm-hmm. You know all those letters I wrote to you about how happy I was in three and what a nice time I was having and everything? I didn't want you to worry, and I didn't want Eli to be right. And I think Salome kind of puts a hand on the tree and goes, but she was right about a lot of things. And I tried to come out here a hell of a lot sooner, and he didn't want to let me go. Anyway, y'all have been in a lot of trouble out here, and I came to get y'all out alive, and I'm gonna get y'all out alive. But after that, I think I might need to leave before Aunt Lai comes back to herself. I can't bring the kind of trouble I'm in home to y'all. Thaddeus is dead, Aunt Mags. And I am not the person you raised me to be. But I needed to get here. And I didn't have another way out.
Come here. And she pulls you into a hug. She says, girl, you've been through a lot. A lot more than I had been through at your age. Hell, when I was your age, I hadn't even been to Echo. And, I know you. I know you. Whatever you've done, whatever has happened, didn't happen for no reason. This doesn't change anything.
I don't know if Aunt Lai would feel the same way. I think she and I both know that I was a damn fool, and there ain't nothing that happened that I didn't bring on myself. I thought Mama's shoes were too big for me to fill, so instead of trying to grow into them, I did the only thing I thought I could. But I know how what I did must have hurt y'all. I mean, Lila hasn't been a tree for 9 years, Max. She wasn't writing to me well before all of this. Thaddeus knew she wouldn't take me back. He said I'd come all the way back here and have nobody to go home to, and he wasn't always kind, but he wasn't often wrong, either. Max, all I want is to come home and earn the right to travel with you, heal with you, I'm just more of a fighter than a healer these days, and I don't really know if I have all that in me anymore.
Salome, when your mom left us, that was the hardest thing that's ever happened to us. All of us. And she looks at the tree. Your mama left the biggest shoes in the world to fill. And girl, those shoes didn't fit Lila or I either. And maybe they didn't fit you because they weren't yours. And yeah, Lila was so angry when you left, but that anger wasn't at you. Not completely. She holds on to anger because that's what she knows. That's how she does things. I don't get it. I'd sooner be happy than angry. But, well, that's how she gets to be as tough as she is. She's a hell of a lot tougher than I am. But what I don't think she understands is that sometimes songs end. In fact, every song ends eventually. And just because you ain't carrying on the briar cart doesn't mean somebody has to. Girl, you ain't your mama. And I don't want you to be. Because that'd be weird. It'd be so weird.
You know what's real goofy about it, though, Aunt Max?
Yeah?
After I killed Thaddeus, not before, when it would have been helpful, not before... Not even before I went off to Threed when it would have been helpful. Shit. Mama ever tell you about V? Her friend from the other side of the river?
Maggie straightens for a second and then says, I do know about V.
Well, about 10 years and 3 weeks too late, I happened to meet them.
You.
And now I'm starting to be able to do what Mama can do, but it's real slow going because I ain't half as good as she was.
You can...
And anyway, it's all about 10 years too late for me to do any damn thing about it. Now I'm wanted for murder, and I don't even know how much the bounty is. God only knows, it must be a lot.
Hold on, girl, hold on. You can see V.
Yeah, sometimes.
Holy shit. Girl, your mama didn't see V for a long time.
What you mean? That was her whole thing.
That was her whole thing. Eventually. She had to grow into them shoes.
Well, how did it start for her?
Honestly, started around the time she had you.
No shit.
It's kind of weird, huh?
I guess it's got something to do with bringing somebody into the world or taking somebody out.
We all crossed the river twice. Unless, I mean, some people cross it a few more times than that, but it's...
I can see the wisps, too. Do you know that the things in here, the shamblers in here, are stealing wisps? Do you know that that's what they're doing?
I didn't know. I knew that something was going on. But, well, the townspeople know a little bit about what's happening than I do. In fact, maybe we should all have the lowdown. We should all sing a song of remembrance and think about our circumstances.
Yeah, I think so. And listen, I'll give some thought about what I want to do when all this is over, but I promise you I will get y'all out of here alive. And,
hey.
I love you, and I touched the tree, and I love you. And I'm so sorry it took me so long to come back to you.
You start to turn away from the tree, and there is... It almost feels like your eyes are playing tricks on you. Because for a second... Just a small second. It almost looks like Lila's brow unclenches just a little, just the tiniest bit. But you can't really tell for sure.
I just reach out and run a thumb over her brow, try to smooth it out a little bit. And then I turn and walk back to the rest of the group.
Maggie takes your hand as you walk.
Oh, I don't let go of her all night.
Oh, our little girl.
It's good to see you. Wait, hold on one second. Where's Wink? You've been holding out on me. Where is that stinky little guy?
Oh, Wink. You see a couple of the kids of the little survivor camp. A couple of the kids are sitting around the oldest damn cat you have ever seen. This cat is decrepit. like, fur is just scraggly, eyes a little half-crazed, bits of one ear are just gone. I guess I should say eye half-crazed, as he only has one.
Aww.
Wink sits in his eternal wink, and some of the kids have taken turns scratching him behind the ears, and Wink accepts them with the bitter patience of an old man.
I get it.
I think I kind of scoop him up a little bit and bring him over to Hayden and stuff. It's like, y'all, look at this. Look at this. Look at this old bag of bones. His wink. I call him Stink.
Oh, my goodness. How are you alive? You're wonderful, but how are you alive?
Oh, he's older than the river. I think he was alive before I was born.
He just, like, nestles into Salome and just lets out this low.
That's him purring. Don't mind it. He just kind of wheezes these days, but I think that means he likes it. Come here, buddy. You've been getting your night cheese. I just kind of grab Wink, grab Maggie by one hand, Wink in the other, Daisy just around, you know, at my feet, and just sit down and prepare for a chat.
You sit down and Daisy is behind you, like leaning against you because he's just so
Jesus
big.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
You all sit down, and Maggie beckons Dart over and says, Dart, dear, why don't you fill everybody in on what's going on? And Dart says, yeah, I don't have a whole lot. I don't really know for sure. We all used to live in Blackthorn Hollow, and you know, it's a peaceful little town. The most amount of, like, people passing through go to the refinery, and then they leave, the company boys. You know, we live our little lives, and we go to the saloon and do our thing, and I made shoes. I was a cobbler. And, well, I don't know for sure, but people started disappearing a few weeks before it happened.
When did all this start? About 6 months ago when y'all came?
The sisters showed up later.
Yeah, when did folks start coming up missing?
A little over, has it been 6 months?
Y'all have been off the map for 6 months. I don't know how long the rest of you have been down here.
We've been lucky. The storerooms haven't run out yet.
You mentioned that since it happened, what was it? Like, what?
Well, I'm getting there. Hold on.
Okay, sorry. My bad.
I had, like, a series of incidents that lead up.
Sounded like that was the next incident.
What? No, because people started disappearing. Like, in...
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Like, people disappearing, like, in a bog town, that's, like, kind of standard. You know, you have one or two people go missing every few years. People wander into the bog, they don't come back.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's awful, but it's part of bog living. But this time... It was more than one person. People started going missing, like five or six. A refinery worker heading home after a long day. A guy coming home from Gordon's saloon. A couple kids playing in the town graveyard. Sheriff calls in a search party, but before anybody can investigate, Sheriff goes missing. And then they attacked.
The shambling things?
The ones that were looking for me out there, the ones that you saved me from, those. But, like, smaller. Smaller at first.
It's hard to tell you how I know this, but there are souls, essentially, inside them. Anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6.
She sort of looks over at the other townspeople who are sort of sitting there. A lot of them are just sort of silently sitting, a little dejectedly. And she says, well, the common belief is that they were the people that went missing. And these things, they attacked all at once. All of a sudden, they raided the houses. They were taking anyone they could catch, making them not them anymore. Everyone who could ran in here, and they followed us in, and we hid in here, and That's how the sisters found us. We wouldn't have stood a chance without them.
There was a voice, kind of booming through the refinery, calling one of the shamblers back, and it listened. Y'all heard that before? You got any idea who it might be?
The voice. Yeah, she talks to us sometimes.
She talks to you?
Yeah, she asks us to give up.
Shit.
Was there anybody, like, when these, you know, people started going missing, was there anybody unusual that came through town that didn't leave?
Dart nods, and she says, yeah, we think we might know who it is. There's, this lady arrived in town a few months before the attacks, kept to herself. We learned from, Gordon, ran the saloon. Her name was Aletna Moribund.
Is this a name that any of us would recognize, or is this just new?
Salome. You've heard this name before. Just like once or twice. You've heard Thaddeus say this name before.
I'm sorry? In what context?
Moribund was a researcher. I'm not going to make you roll for this because this is something that you would remember.
Yeah. What?
Just a little bit. Jameson was interested in Moribund's research. And a couple times, Thaddeus let slip that they were trying to close in on a deal. You don't remember how the deal worked out, largely because Thaddeus probably didn't tell you.
Did I hear anything about what she was researching?
Something magical. Magical properties? Magical properties in relation to things? You're not sure. Something arcane.
Mm-hmm.
And Dart says, we don't know anything about her. She showed up one day, said she had something she was looking for here. She seemed, from what Gordon said, she seemed pretty distraught.
I think I might have heard her name before. In Threed. Overheard Thaddeus talking about how he was closing in on a deal with a researcher. Moribund. I had no idea what the research was, but I'm starting to worry it might be something like this.
This seems like an odd thing to make a deal over. This seems more like whatever she was researching caught up with her and influenced her in some way. Maybe I'm just reaching because I can't imagine someone would intentionally be doing this kind of thing.
I'm just starting to put less and less past the Jamesons in terms of just destroying entire towns because they don't seem to be profitable. So she seemed distraught. Since she came here, was something happening that went wrong? Like, you got any idea?
I don't know. She came to town for something, and then nobody heard from her. Gordon said that she had all her meals delivered directly to her room. She didn't see anybody, didn't talk to anybody.
And now she's speaking through the walls, telling y'all to give up.
You might hear her for yourself.
Has anyone seen one of these shamblers come to be? Or take on someone?
I have. The reason y'all saw me out alone is because I don't go out with groups anymore. I'm one of the, distractors.
What's that mean?
We don't want the shamblers to find out where we're located. So anytime they come by, we send out distractors to try and get them away from us. I'm one of the only ones left. Used to be about 5 or 6 of us, and, Gordon used to be one, and, they did something to him. They caught him, they held him down, they did this weird sound to him, and then he just fell apart.
Like, literally?
Like, his body wasn't him. He just became one of them.
So having seen what I've seen inside of them, it seems as though they are consuming souls out of bodies. And then maybe the bodies become something different than what they were before.
That's a good guess. That's kind of what we've been thinking, is they do something to us.
Do y'all have, like, a map of the refinery? All these tunnels? Or do you know it pretty well?
I know some of it. There's a part of the tunnels that we don't go to. Because the things, that's where they are.
Do we think that Olenna Moribund is sequestering herself down here, too? Is she down here with us? Can we...
I don't know.
I mean, not to be indelicate, but can we go kill her?
I hope.
Probably.
It's probably the best plan we have. I don't know if taking her out will take out the Shamblers, but...
If she was making deals with Thaddeus and she's down here threatening y'all to give up, we're killing her, right? That's sort of the plan.
I think that's the long and short of it.
Do you know if they have any kind of weaknesses or aversions to specific things? Like, I don't know, particular, like fire?
Fire's pretty... They're not avoidant to fire, but they do catch fire easily.
Okay.
I don't know if they think. They seem to just do.
Oh, Aunt Max, have you tried any kind of charms or anything on them? Has any of that worked?
Maggie shakes her head and says, any sort of charm sort of just bounces right off. It's almost like there's nothing to charm.
Well, Stump just cocks his crossbow.
I don't believe that's how crossbows work, friend.
Sorry. Well, guess we're going in bows a-blazing, preferably tomorrow.
Maggie says, well, before that happens, we all need to rest. Or at least y'all do. Judging by everything, I think I know something that might help. Salome, she hands you her banjo.
Hayden,
she pulls out a small drum and hands it over to you.
Oh.
Stump, she hands you a washboard and a thimble.
Not only is Stump not a good singer, Stump is tone deaf on the washboard and thimble.
Somehow.
Just like no somehow. Rhythm whatsoever.
Oh, Max, I haven't played this damn thing in 9 years. Shockingly, there were not very many instruments around in the Jameson household.
She says, girl, all you got to do is pluck the first, pluck the third. Pluck the first, pluck the third.
All right, I'm going to do my best.
Dart pulls out her concertina. A tiefling shuffles over with a pair of spoons. Salome, this is the first time you've looked at Maggie's banjo in about 10 years, and it is just how you remember it. The banjo head looks like the moon, and in fact changes with the phases of the moon in order to keep track of what spells are strongest when. Maggie looks at you all and says, you might not be like super versed in instruments, but honestly, if you keep on the beat and play with a full heart, it ain't gonna sound bad.
Well, we'll do our best not to prove you wrong.
I got all kinds of heart. Keeping the beat, we're going to see.
Maggie pulls out her fiddle, and she begins to weave. And you swear, you can feel the notes resonate in different parts of your body. The banjo notes you feel plucking in the small of your back. The washboard vibrates your shoulders. The drum resounds in your gut. The spoons clickety-clack off the tips of your ears. The concertina swells in your chest, and the fiddle tickles the end of your nose. And Maggie begins to sing. The first song praises the morning sun and the dew drops it relieves. The second one curses the iron horse that takes away a loved one. The third tells of a wandering acting troupe whose faces could change like the wind. The fourth whispers of an ancient city buried in the sands, black glass shining in the sun. And as the songs go on, a miner's pickaxe, left behind by the refinery workers, pulls itself upright on its end, brought to life for an hour by the music, and dances in the firelight. The song swells within each of you, and you feel the music move through you. Its story told in terms both mysterious and familiar to you. And you all feel joined in this moment.
I also rolled like a 22 performance check, so I remember a little bit of banjo.
There we go. Are we rolling performance? Should I do that?
If you want to roll performance, here's the thing. Roll performance, you all get bardic inspiration.
Ooh, what kind of bardic inspiration? Oh.
For just this roll?
It is a D8.
All right.
For this roll for now. And because Maggie has a cool little thing, roll that bardic inspiration with advantage.
I don't have to. I rolled an 8.
Ooh.
That is a 30 performance check from Salome.
Whoa.
I know I said that Stump was bad at this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The spirit of the moment took him over, and Stump got a 25.
Ooh, shit.
Whoa.
Hayden's got a 21.
Whoa.
Yo, we're starting family up a little band going. Hell yeah. This is the friggin' Badlands jug band is what we are. This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying, it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at diceexploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're all incredible.
Yeah, we sound great.
One technical question. Hayden, do you still look like a grung?
Ooh. You know, I've been thinking about it, and I think that Hayden might, just as a test, let the disguise drop for the night and just see what happens.
Okay.
There's no way that these scared, hiding community members are going to go, ah, here's an enemy we can go after.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely.
I mean, they're like shivering in terror a little bit, but...
I think Salome sees them looking a little afraid and goes up to them quietly and says, well, look at you. I like seeing you with your hair down.
Hayden hugs Salome and starts crying. He's like, I know you've got your own stuff going on, but...
Honey, you good?
You're really great, and I don't want anything to happen to you. So let's take care of your tree friend and your tree aunt, and then we'll get out of here, and then everything will be fine, and it'll be great.
Girl, you got to get Stump to give you some Pedialyte.
This is me all Pedialyte.
I think Damn. This is Xanax territory.
Yeah, I think we got to get you something stronger than Pedialyte. Come on. Honey, it's okay.
Do you have tea? I should get into tea.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe water.
Lala's got tea.
Hayden, I think that when you first change back, a couple of the townspeople look at you a little bit, but after a moment, they sort of take it and they go, okay, cool. Some of the children run up to you and ask you how you can do that and whether you can teach them. At one point, Maggie pulls you aside or taps you on the shoulder and says, well, shoot, ain't you a beautiful bird?
You know, actually, I have a good friend who's a bird, but that's not the here nor there. Thank you.
Hey, you ever heard of the Fate-spun players?
I have not, but color me intrigued.
Well, I sung a song about them earlier, and...
I was very focused on playing my drum.
And you know what? It paid off because that's about the best damn drumming I'd ever heard. But, well, any friend of Salome's is a friend of mine. And if we all make it out of this, remind me to tell you about the Fate-spun players, because it might be worth you looking up if you don't know about them already.
Hayden is at a complete loss for words, but cannot hold back the goofiest little grin spreading across their face. Yeah, sure, let's not die, and then we'll talk about... Yeah, okay, I'm gonna go lie down.
Maggie envelops you in a bear hug before you do.
I like your cat.
Hey, he likes you too, no matter what he says.
I want to learn how to talk to animals.
Speaking of the songs that you sang, you got any more info on that one, you know, with the black glass, the city?
Shoot.
In the desert?
Ain't a whole lot to tell.
Like a lyric sheet?
Sure. A lot of the lyrics are sort of poetic. I mean, hell, it's the city of black glass, you know? Nobody knows for sure that it's real or not, and most people are sort of sure it's not.
Rat was certain it was real, but Rat's kind of an idiot, so... There's that.
I kind of just... Stump kind of looks at Salome for the go-ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
What's going on?
It seems like... So, okay. A while ago, I got this amulet that I don't know where it is anymore, but it's somewhere, and Hayden has it. I don't know where it is. It's for a good thing, because the amulet started making me have a special
Salome
dream.
Salome rifles around in her toiletry bag. Like...
Because I started having this special dream where I started seeing the city of black gas.
City of black gas?
Oh, that's a different
city. The
city
of noxious fumes.
Oh, let me tell you, I've been to the city of black gas before, and it is rough.
You know men and their special dreams. Hey.
So I had this special dream about the city of black glass, and we've had this amulet, and we found a door, like a red-eyed god door, and Jameson is trying, and I just fill her in on kind of the whole amulet.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Come on over closer to the tree. I don't want to have to tell this twice. We go over to the tree.
I really hope Lila can hear all this.
The whole campaign to Maggie.
Well, damn, dear heart. That's a lot. Well, I'm sorry to say I don't know a whole lot about the city of black glass other than its sort of poetic value. I mean, the myths say that it sinks into the sand, pops up somewhere else, that it was once sort of this utopic civilization, but it sank into the sand. It's a little over my head.
Oh, one other question.
You ask me anything.
Professor Portons, one of the fellows we were traveling with.
Ooh, golly, I know the old professor.
Wait.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Wait.
Yeah, wait.
You know
the
professor.
Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you about this. Professor Portons saved our whole lives. Oh, my God. He was the reason I lived through Providence.
That old hoot?
Yeah, he's gotten a hell of a lot better at potion making. And then Stump used the bezoar that he had laying around to help his potions get... Yeah, whatever you call it. I don't know what y'all call it.
Are y'all having this under, next to Lila?
Yes.
Okay. You can see Maggie glancing at Lila occasionally as you talk about Professor Portons.
Yeah, no. Look, it's a whole thing. But he saved my life multiple times over. He's truly one of the best people I ever met. I can't say enough good things about Professor Portons. We love him. Look, anyway, Professor Portons was telling us about some things that were happening in Geralton and folks not allowing healers or peddlers to come into towns or anything like that. We told you the whole thing about Courtois and the Inquisition and all the other people we're getting chased by. She thinks we know something about what the church is up to. And the thing is, we don't know shit, but we kind of told her that we know something. You got any idea what the hell the church is up to?
I mean, shoot, that... I don't exactly keep up with the major world religions. You know, we're a little outside that. But, well, the whole peddler situation we did run afoul of a couple times. Started last year. Come to think of it, I heard talk that people were saying that it all came about because of the new pontifex of the church.
The new pontifex? That's different from the Grand Inquisitor?
Well, the Grand Inquisitor is sort of like a enforcer. The Inquisition is sort of the one that carries out the rules and makes sure other people are following the rules. And the Inquisition wasn't always originally a part of the church, from what I'd heard. It's sort of a more recent development. And this new pontifex is a real big believer in the Inquisition.
Do they have a name?
Well, it's been a bit, but if I'm remembering correctly, his name is Leodore Dural III.
Great. That doesn't sound stuffy and pretentious at all.
Do we recognize that name?
I mean, you can roll religion checks.
Nah, that's a 3.
Oh, okay.
That's a 9.
That's a dirty 20.
All right.
Hayden, with a dirty 20, something clicks in your mind. About a year ago, the new pontifex came into the church. The Inquisition started getting big. About a year ago was when everything went down. The Pipers, Rat, they sort of line up. And you don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I keep getting pieces of the puzzle, but I don't know what the box looks like.
It's another puzzle piece.
I don't like this puzzle. Can we get one that's just kitty cats?
I hand Hayden wink.
Hayden just snuggles up to wink.
You snuggle up to wink, and you spend all evening making music and telling stories. And eventually you settle in for the night. And you're not quite sure when the night passes, but at some point, long after everyone has gone to bed, each of you remembers waking up for a moment and seeing Maggie, still sitting beneath the branches of her sister, playing her banjo.
I think Salome falls asleep that night, head resting near Maggie's lap, just curled around the roots of the tree.
You all get a good night's sleep. The next day you start to gather as you begin to draw together to sort out what comes next. You hear a voice. Booms through the halls from everywhere and nowhere. A woman's voice says, "Citizens of Blackthorn Hollow, I ask once more to lay yourselves down. I require assistance, and I will have it. Whether or not you struggle before your passing is your choice. I address now the newcomers. I do not know where you came from. Perhaps you came to aid these citizens in their fight, but you must know that their struggles
and consequently yours, are in vain. I will add you to my resources, and I will have my Rockland. I will ask only once. Do you surrender?
Max, you know what the hell Rockland is?
She says, I don't. It's come up every once in a while, but I don't know what or who. I don't know what it is.
Salome steps forward and calls out, Miss Moribund, if you don't mind me being too forward, I don't know what the hell kind of deal you may or may not have been working on with my husband or the Jamesons or anybody else, but we are absolutely here, not just to save the people of Blackthorn Hollow, but to make sure that you wish you were never fucking born. We'll see you soon.
Two things you should know, newcomer. First, it is Dr. Moribund. And second, I asked you to surrender because your circumstances are dire. You refuse, so be it. And as she says that, boom, the door shakes. Boom. Dust drains down from the ceiling. Boom. Something is banging on the doors. Boom.
Amex, you know another way out of here?
She says, no, there's only one way in or out.
Boom.
All right, guess we're fighting it then.
The townspeople begin to quake in fear. There is nowhere for them to hide. Boom. Dust settles at the feet of the lilac tree. Boom. The doors begin to crack. Boom. And before you have any more time to think, boom, the doors smash open. In the doorway stands one massive shambler. Four medium-sized shamblers. And eight of a kind of shambler you've never seen before. They're small, thin, and as you look, these eight thin, small shamblers lower themselves and sprint into the room. You see them running faster than you think is possible. Four of them head for the townspeople. Four of them run at Maggie.
Can I cast Bless in the time of the door being banged on?
Yes, absolutely.
Great, so I'm going to cast Bless on Stump, Maggie, and Hayden.
The four other shamblers begin crossing into the room. The big shambler begins to follow. And as we all roll a real quick initiative... The runners have already reached their targets.
Here we go.
Five. Classic.
Well, on that initiative, Hayden got a natural 20.
Ooh, hell
for
yeah.
27.
Stumps in the middle with 11.
Top of the order are the runners.
Mm-hmm. You bitch.
They tied.
Oh,
the four
shit.
That run at Maggie are going to maneuver their way around you. Salome, these are quick. You have not seen things run this fast. Up close, they're a lot worse. They have these thin, membranous bodies. One of them opens its mouth, and this long tongue reaches out, snaps wet Maggie around the neck, pulls her in, and she is suddenly engulfed by this creature. You see it turn and sprint 60 feet for its movement.
Do I get an opportunity attack?
You do.
Yeah, I'll take one with Booming Blade.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. What's a 18 plus 9?
27.
Everybody's 27 rolling 27s today. That hits. Roll some damage.
I mean, they're kidnapping my aunt. Second level smite.
Okay. When you say engulfed, you mean just like swallowed like a big old bag and is now running away unencumbered with a human inside them?
Yes, when these runners engulf someone, they basically stuff the person inside their own body and they can run around with them.
34 damage.
Whew.
Okay.
And it takes more if it moves.
It does move.
Great, it's taken another 6.
Okay.
So 40 damage.
Cool.
Still going?
It's running. It's not doing great. In fact, it's bloodied.
All right, great.
It is 60 feet towards the door. The other three turn to you and are going to attack you.
Oh, okay, great. Cool. Fun. Why not?
Only one of them hits. It is a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
You take 10 points of bludgeoning damage as its tongue just sucker punches you in the throat.
Oh, God.
It starts trying to pull you into itself like it did with Maggie, so I need you to make a strength save.
Damn, that's only a 13.
You are able to wrench this tongue off of your throat.
Oh, God, yeah, she just rips it off.
Solomon, or Hayden and Stump, are y'all near the townspeople?
I didn't say it in the moment, but I probably would have gone to spread out and protect the townspeople.
We can have that happen.
Yeah, no, then Stump is also going to be with the townspeople.
Okay. You see four runners sprint at the townspeople, and they're there. And all of them are taking pot shots at townspeople.
Oh, God.
You see the tiefling, the one who had the spoons.
Mm-hmm.
You see a tongue shoot out, hit her, pull her in, and she is grappled by this runner. And then you see it turn and begin sprinting away.
Opportunity attack?
Yeah, go for it.
Stump gets a 15 to stab one of them.
That hits.
All right.
Okay, that's 7 damage.
Okay. It
what? It what?
It what? Screeches at you.
Ooh, Casey.
Yes?
Could I use Glitter Baby for an opportunity attack?
Like as a knife?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what?
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's fun.
I'll probably still miss, but I don't know what my bonus would be with Glitter Baby.
I will say Glitter Baby can't be anything more than a dagger right now because mm-hmm. they're a tiny little kid.
That's a 15.
That hits. Roll some damage.
Woo! That's an 8 maximum damage.
Hey, all right.
Ooh, okay.
First taste of blood, little body.
The shambler containing the tiefling and the shambler containing Maggie take their movement away from the combat. They're back at the door and on their way out. Next in the order is Hayden.
So, starting off, I cast Hunter's Mark on the one that's running off with Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my Gloomstalker Ranger fanciness, I can take an extra attack with the attack action on my turn. So that's 3 attacks with a regular action, but I will also Action Surge. So
yeah,
I get 6
Hayden's
total
a fighter
attacks.
Here. Let's go.
All that having been said, 2 of my rolls were nat 1s, and 1 of them was a nat 2.
No, devastating. All right.
Oh,
so that's
God.
22, nat 1, 25, nat 1, 20, 11.
Ooh, well, hey, 3's pretty good.
So I assume that 3 of those hit and 3 don't.
3 of them hit, 3 of them don't. I will say, you may need to pick another target for attacks 2 and 3.
Okay.
Good.
That's 7 damage on the first hit.
That shambler collapses in the doorway out. Maggie is struggling to get out of this shambler's corpse.
Yeah.
Then next I will go after the one that got the tiefling.
Okay.
17 damage on that hit.
Okay.
Plus 9 damage.
That one does not go down.
Oh.
Is that all you do?
That's, I mean,
is that
I can
all
run.
You do?
That's all that's left.
Next in the order are the 4 shamblers. One of them stops. You see it pick up Maggie. And it turns, instead of going into the room, it leaves the room.
No, hey, Max, come on.
The other 3 shamblers, seeing this, turn and start to leave as well.
Oh, shit. No. Does it look like they're just coming for Maggie?
Seems like it. Next in the order is Stump. Stump, there are three shamblers near you, three near Salome, sort of the runner shamblers, who seem to be trying to snatch people up. And there is the big boy.
I'm going to step back. I'm going to get towards the tree.
Okay. The runners do not pay you any mind. They seem focused on capturing people.
Great. Is the body of that runner still there that took Maggie?
So Maggie was still enveloped in its body when the other shambler picked it up.
Okay.
So she's sort of in a shambler.
Oh, okay. I will shoot at one of them that's right next to Salome. A crossbow shot.
Go for it.
That's a 9.
That is not a hit.
And yeah, I'll just kind of duck behind the tree a little bit. Okay. Try to get some cover or hide.
Yeah, you hide next to Lila. Great. That is the Mega Shambler's turn. The Mega Shambler turns to the tree.
No.
With a dash, it gets to the tree. But that is its turn. Next in the order is Salome.
Oh, God. Okay, so one of them is going for Lila, and the other one just took Maggie. Shit, I'm so sorry. I'm like, how far away am I from the one from Maggie?
That one is out the door.
Shit. Okay.
It's gone.
Mags, I'm so sorry, Mags. I'm gonna come for you. And I'm gonna run over and position myself between Lila and the Shambler, and I'm gonna cast Sanctuary on Lila in the hopes that this thing will attack me instead.
Okay.
Lila is warded against the attack until the spell ends. Any creature who targets her has to make a wisdom save. On a failed save, they have to choose a new target or lose the attack or spell.
Okay. Well, you know what they say about shamblers. They are very wise.
And I'm going to attack him with Booming Blade.
Okay.
Y'all, I'm really bad at math when it's good. I'm not used to rolling well. That's a 23 to hit.
That hits.
Great.
Roll some damage.
15 damage.
You see some of its flesh slice open. You are tall enough to slash it on the thigh.
You ain't coming for my aunt, honey. You're going to have to kill me first.
Next in the order are the runners. The runners that were around you, Salome, turn full dash out the door. They're gone. The ones attacking the townspeople are going to try to get more hostages. Two of them miss and glance off of makeshift shields made from cafeteria trays, anything the townspeople could get. One of them hits Dart.
Dart!
Oh, shit.
And Dart is grappled. The runner turns, runs to the door.
Opportunity attacks.
Roll them.
There you go.
Yes, that's a 16 for Hayden with Glitter Baby.
That hits.
All right.
8 damage.
Great.
Glitter Baby's feisty. I keep getting max damage.
Yeah, all right.
Glitter Baby's in your pocket like, I want blood.
Damn, Hayden, that thing's bloodthirsty.
Parents, feed me blood.
We're friends.
Feed me, Hayden. Feed me, Hayden. Feed me.
Hayden, you sure about that pet?
So there are three runners in the doorway on their way out. And there is the Mega Shambler at the tree. Hayden, it is your turn.
All right. I'm going to Hunter's Mark one of the fleeing runners to be able to track it. And then okay. I'm going to attack the one who grabbed Dart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Smart.
27 and 21 to hit.
Yeah. Yes.
13 total damage.
Nice. Okay. It's a little bloodied. Stump, it is your turn.
I'll shoot at the runner that has Dart in it.
Okay.
I'm going to take the hide action use a bonus action to hide beforehand.
Okay. Get that sneak attack.
Does a 25 hide me from this runner that's looking in the other direction?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. That's good.
I hope so.
Great. That gets me sneak attack.
Hey, there it is.
Does a 23 hit it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go sneak attack. It's going to be 13 damage.
Cool. It's looking real bad off.
That's all I got.
Next in the order is the Mega Shambler. It is going to try and hit Lila.
It's got to make a wisdom save. DC 16.
It fails.
Nice. All right. Well, maybe nice. So now it's got to attack somebody else or lose the attack.
It's going to attack you.
That's what I'm here for.
That's an 18 to hit.
Ooh, fuck. That just hits. That's my armor Ooh. Class.
Okay. It is going to bring down a fist and just punch the fuck out of you.
Yeah, great. All right. Yeah, Salome just fucking stands in front of the tree and just braces.
That is 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ooh, sweet lord. All right. Yeah, Salome feels it. I think as this like creature punches down into her, she's just gonna put a hand back against the tree and just try to brace for impact, leaning against the tree.
You brace yourself against the tree as this blow comes crashing into you. And you notice for a second that the tree feels warm to the touch. Salome, that is your turn.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Salome braces herself against the tree and just starts to try to come back swinging.
Okay.
All right. That is a 28 to hit.
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Attacking with Boom and Blade again. That's only 12 damage.
Great. Top of the order is Hayden.
Hayden, if you want to hold your turn, I can give you some poison bolts.
I'm going to hold my turn until after Stump.
Okay. Stump.
So Stump is going to run over to Hayden and use Assassin's Blood on three of their bolts, which is a poison that he has. So when Hayden hits a creature, it will need to make a DC 15 con save. And if it fails, it takes 1d12 damage and is poisoned for 24 hours.
Do it.
And then I'm going to shoot it.
There you go. Get a Stump.
Is that 21?
Yeah.
Salome's right next to it, so I get sneak attack again?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's 10 damage.
Okay. Decent shot. Hayden.
I got poison now. I'm gonna
yeah.
use it.
Yeah, they do.
You got poison.
All right, and we're wailing on this big guy now.
Do it.
26, dirty 20, and 11.
The 11 does not hit. The other two do.
All right, we're getting that poison in.
So it's got to make a con save for each of these bolts?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to stop you right there. That first one failed.
Also, Sanctuary is not a concentration spell, so y'all still have Bless.
Oh.
Oh, let me roll for that 11 then.
Fails the second one too.
And I have been rolling con saves for taking damage to maintain Bless, and I rolled a nat 20.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Wow. That 11 becomes a 14 with Bless.
There it is.
Its armor class is exactly 14.
So that means yet another constitution saving throw.
With disadvantage.
That already fails.
Yeehaw.
So an additional 3d12.
This is a good sound. That is a total of 48 damage.
Oh, holy shit.
Thank you, Stump.
Shit.
Yeah, you're welcome. I can't do much myself, but I can help others.
Wow. Immediately bloodied.
All right, Hayden, you got a couple more of those in you?
We'll see what we can do, but we're not going to let anything happen to Lila. Don't you worry.
Next in the order is the Shambler.
Okay, so 16 wisdom save.
It rolled a 17.
No.
Don't like that.
Ooh. It's going to attack Lila.
With disadvantage, though.
With disadvantage. Mm-hmm. It pulls back, and boom. Sinks a hit directly into the trunk of Lila's tree.
It's going to have to make another wisdom save. I am going to use Channel Divinity, Rebuke the Violent.
Okay. It fails.
Okay. Then it's going to take all of the damage it just dealt in radiant damage back.
It sinks the punch into the bark flesh of your aunt. And simultaneously, energy explodes backward from the trunk. The Shambler is blasted into meaty viscera that splashes the three of you.
Ooh.
Its pieces fall to the ground and lay unmoving. And you are out of combat.
Shit. I check in with Lila to make sure that she's still, like, alive in there.
You look. The trunk is broken, but not completely. There's a large crack running lengthwise down its trunk. The crack crosses over Lila's midsection and continues down past her feet into its roots. Roll insight.
Rolling hot today, y'all. 22.
Lila's hanging in there, but she may not stay that way.
Okay. Yeah, I think Salome just gently runs a hand over that scar in Lila, and I'll use 5 points of lay on hands to maybe just ease some of that damage a little bit.
And as you do, you see it seal slightly behind your hand. Not completely, but some. As you step back, and as the three of you brush off the meaty chunks of this thing, you look and see that you are surrounded by the survivors.
Salome looks to Hayden and Stump and back to the rest of the group and says, "All right, we're going to go get Aunt Mags. Dart got taken?"
Dart got taken.
"And we're going to go get Dart."
Dart and the tiefling with the spoons.
"We're going to get Maggie, we're going to get Dart, and we're going to get that tiefling with the spoons.
We're going to get that tiefling with the spoons.
Don't y'all worry. We're going hunting."
A couple of the kids run up and hug you, Hayden.
Oh.
A couple of the townspeople gather and hug you, Salome. Each of them sort of comforting you. A couple of them come up to you, Stump, and aren't really sure what to do, so...
that feels right. We're good. Well, we're good here.
Like... One of them, who's like obviously a dad, sort of like pats you on the shoulder and is like, "Yeah, you're gonna get him."
Because I can't use it, you know how to use one of these, and I take out the short sword we bought in Twin River that Stump can't really use very well.
I mean, you could have handed it to me instead of you making me use Glitter Baby this whole time.
Hunter, do you want the do you want the short sword? I can't use it.
I guess I'm getting into swords now, sure.
Sorry, guy.
I probably have more use for it than this guy. No offense.
You look to hand it to this, like, this middle-aged dad. He goes, "Oh." And then you hand it to Hayden. He goes, "Oh." Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Is anybody here a healer?
I mean, I am.
Or good with plants? Besides you, Stump. You're coming with us.
Oh, okay.
One teenage girl raises her hand and says, I was training in the infirmary. I don't got much, but I got some."
"Yeah, hey there, dear heart. Listen, all I want you to do is try to keep your focus on keeping Lila alive while we go, okay?"
Yeah. I don't know much about trees, but I'll try."
"I believe she's in good hands. You just focus on trying to keep her alive until we get back, okay?"
"Okay.
You think you can do that?"
"Yeah, I can do that."
"Thank you, dear heart. Yeah, I don't think I could have put it better than Hayden. We're going hunting."
"You're going hunting." Hayden, you look, and in the distance, you see the outline of your hunter's mark surrounding this shambler as it sprints deep into the bowels of the earth. And that is where we will pick up next time.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 23 of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Want to show your support for the show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive for just 5 measly little dollars a month. You can join in on the down low, hear a whole behind the scenes extra podcast where we talk about all the episodes, get all kinds of extra little goodies that you can inject into your own campaigns, and just hang out and join in the fun. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our orchestrations and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across this lovely social media landscape. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Usually I make a joke here about not being able to catch, but you know what? legitimately, it makes a huge difference. We'd love it if you send a review to us. And now we're going to shout out all of our fantastic supporters on Patreon. And I'm going to do it, as per usual, in one breath. Andrew, John Flies with Ravens, Kellen Wilbur, Trot Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Das Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Oki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, El DeSoul, Julata Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe, Utley, and Sammy Richardson. I'm getting better at it, so if you really want to challenge me, you're going to have to add some more patrons on here. Come on, get to it. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell that guy at the local game store who's just always there and is just really sweet and just wants to be able to talk to somebody. He loves talking about games. You love talking about games. Get them in on the podcast. And when you do it, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?